Morning and welcome. I'm so glad that you're here today. My name is Barry. I'm one of the campus pastors here in Conklin, and it is a joy and a privilege to be with you today. I just want you to know, I had an allergy attack this weekend like I have not had for a long, long time. And so I'm under the influence right now. It's like, yay! Yeah, it's going to be a surprise what you're going to get today. It's going to be a surprise to me too, but you know, it's one of those weekends where you take something, it doesn't work, you take something else and it doesn't work, you just keep taking stuff, and you're going, something's got to stop what's going on right now, because I can't preach like that. And so right now, it's like, woo, I'm like, this is awesome. So anyways, hey, let's close in prayer. We're in the last week of my Big Fat Mouth series, and I'm a little disappointed, to be honest with you. I've really personally have enjoyed this series. If this is your first time with us today, or you've missed a couple of them, we want you to know that the messages are online and you can catch up with the series. In the first week, we talked about complaining. And what we said about complaining was this: if you can change your circumstances, then quit complaining. Just go change them. But if you can't change your circumstances, there's nothing you can do to influence the direction of how life is going, then you need to change your perspective. In the second week, we talked about criticism. And we decided that we can either be one of two things. We can either be a fault finder, or we can be a hope dealer. We can be the kind of person that we can really speak truth into people's lives. We can encourage them. We can build them up. We can edify them, as it says in Scripture. Or we can spend our life tearing other people down, criticizing, hurting them. And so for me, I want to choose to be someone who's a part of the solution, not part of the problem. Last week, we talked about lying, and to me, I actually have to be surprised. I was a little bit surprised, and I think our campuses were a little bit surprised on how much that resonated with our people and how we've been deceived and how we deceive others and how that hurts us. And when we talked about when we lie, one of the things that we need to know is that we are the antithesis of Jesus, because in God and in Jesus, there is no lying. It's only truth. But Satan is the father of lies, and there's nothing more gratifying to him than when people play in his world, which means we're deceiving others or we're deceiving ourselves. He is the great deceiver. And so when we play in his world, he is super happy. And so we need to make sure that we're careful what we say. It says in Scripture this: the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in those who tell the truth. So here's a little clue, and if you looked at your program, you already know, but here's a clue to what we're going to be talking about today. Here's a video.
Just you to my parents.
Psst, Craig and Sheila broke up.
What? Really? Craig and Sheila broke up?
No.
Craig and Sheila broke up.
I don't know.
Is she okay?
Craig and Sheila broke up.
Craig and Sheila.
As long as office gossip travels fast, you can count on Geico saving folks money.
Craig and Sheila broke up.
What?
15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Okay, so obviously if you watch TV, you have seen that commercial recently on TV. Actually, I was at a get-together a couple weeks ago, and somebody goes, hey, did you hear Greg and Sheila broke up? I'm going, are you kidding me? Seriously. So obviously, today we're going to be talking about gossiping. And when we're gossiping, we're sharing information about other people that really aren't helpful. When we gossip, we're in a place where we're actually sometimes sharing things that aren't really even true. Pastor Rick Warren, who has written many books and has done a lot for the kingdom, he wrote this. He says, when we're talking about a situation with someone that is neither part of the problem or part of the solution, then we are probably gossiping. If we're not a part of the problem, if we're not a part of the solution, we're talking about something, typically we're probably in the realm of gossiping. Now, for all of us, we probably know that person who's a gossip, right? And if they're sitting next to you today, please don't elbow them. Don't give them away. But the reality is, at one time or another, for all of us, we have lived in that world to where we're sharing information or we're receiving information about someone else that really isn't all that helpful. And frankly, when we're the ones that are being talked about, it's not very pleasant. We don't want people talking about us negatively, right? And we don't want people talking and sharing about even our low points in our life. Why would we want people to share that? And so we're going to be talking about God's perspective when it comes to gossiping. So my first year at college, I went to Christian College, I know it's going to be shocking, but I played basketball, which is a huge shock, but I did. And I wasn't very good, but my buddy was really, really good. And so we played, and it was the first year of our freshman year. It was a Thanksgiving tournament. And we played for a coach that was somewhat like, I'm going to date myself, but there's a guy named Bobby Knight, right, who coached for Indiana. He was like that crazy coach. That was kind of our coach. He was a great guy, but man, when he got in the basketball court, he lost it all the time. And he would just yell and scream. And so during the Thanksgiving tournament, he went off on my friend as a freshman. Great player, but young. And so when he went off on my friend walked off the court, went to the locker room and said, I'm done. And he literally quit in the middle of the tournament and drove home. So, because he's my friend, I thought I wanted to help him out, right? So Monday when we got back to campus after Thanksgiving break, what I did was I started a rumor on campus that he was transferring to another college because he had other opportunities to go to other schools to play basketball. And so I sent this rumor and I go, yeah, he's transferring to another school to play basketball, knowing that at a Christian college, it was going to spread like wildfire. And so I spread it, and I'm not kidding you, within less than, I think it was 2 hours, it had gone through the campus, had gotten to the coach. The coach got worried, called my friend into the office, and they made things right. So, like, I'm not very proud of it, but I helped solve the situation. But what shocked me was I knew that I was going to get to him eventually, but I didn't think I was going to get to him, like, in 2 hours. That's how fast it got to him. Why? Because so often in life, we want to share information about other people. We want to listen to information about other people that really isn't all that helpful. In fact, it's pretty hurtful. And so we're going to talk about it. Unfortunately, gossip is a part of our society. We see magazines, right? When you go through the checkout lines, you see these little magazines when you go through the checkout line at the grocery store. And what it's about, it's all gossip. It's all stuff that's going on. There's TV shows that the whole part of the TV show is this. It's about gossip. And so, unfortunately, and this is what really is unfortunately, is that gossip has been a part of the church for years. And so, I'm really not, you know, have you ever had someone come up to you and say, I'm not really supposed to tell you this, but you can't tell anyone this, but I think it's something you want to know. And so we come to the place in life where we start sharing information with other people that we have no business sharing that information. In the church, we use it in the form of a prayer request, right? So I don't know if you've heard this, but Jill and Reed are having problems. And again, we understand Jill's position, right? I mean, like, I don't know how she deals with them. And so if you could just pray, I'd really appreciate for them. And did you hear, you know, the guy who preaches for me with Joel? Remember Joel, he gets up here, the kind of tall, lanky guy, you know, that guy? I heard his kid got kicked off the sports team because he was taking performance-enhancing drugs in high school. I heard that. He's trying to make up for his dad's DNA, so he took it. So anyways, I'm telling you, I'm under the influence, right? Okay, so anyway, there you go. But anyways, so when we get to the place, we got to understand when we talk about gossiping, it really is a big part of our culture, and it really is a part of our church. Not our church, but I mean other churches, a part of other churches. And let's see what God has to say about it. In Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16 through 19, and if you can turn in your copy of the text, that'd be awesome. If you don't have one, it will be on the screen behind me. But this is what it says. There are 6 things that the Lord hates, 7 that are detestable to him. Can we be any more profound about what God thinks about this stuff, okay? He hates it. It's detestable to him. This is what he says. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. God hates those things. He finds those things to be detestable. And what is amazing to me is how many of those things can fall under the category of gossiping. A lying tongue. A heart that devises wicked schemes. In their heart, they run out and say, I'm going to get them. I'm going to talk. And you start devising these plans in your mind to undermine or hurt or embarrass someone else. How about this? Feet that are quick to rush into evil. Man, you just can't wait. What did you hear? Did you hear? And you're rushing in to spread stuff. A false witness who pours out lies and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. I think it would be almost an understatement to say this, that God hates gossips. He doesn't like it because it's so destructive. It goes against everything that he stands for, I think, in Christianity. So it goes on and says, why do we listen to it? Because Proverbs 18:8 says this, the words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the innermost parts. It's like when you're looking, you have this like chocolate fetish, you can't find chocolate in the house. And you're looking around, and you go in the cabinet where you have the chocolate chips, and they're open, and there's a partial bag, right? And then you grab some of them, and you take those little morsels, those little chunks, you go, oh, it's so good. And that's what it says gossip is like for people. It's like that tasty little morsel that we just need. We just want a little bit of something to satisfy our craving. As a teen, I always wondered why, because I grew up in a pretty conservative church, and I always wondered why they would parade people in front of the church and discipline them for certain sins, and they wouldn't discipline other people for their sins. So you take people, things would happen, and they would discipline them. They'd pull them up in front, look at these person. They want to repent of their sin. And I sat there as a kid, and I could tell you the person I'm thinking of right now. If I told you, I'd be gossiping, so I can't say their name. But anyways, they're sitting right over here. No, I'm just kidding. They're not. But I'd watch them, and I'd sit there and say, this person is a gossip. This person is killing the unity of the church. This person is hurting. I mean, as a kid, I'm going, why don't they do something about her? Why do they parade these people in front of the church, but they do nothing with that? Because it says in the same thing, right? That God doesn't like gossiping. I never understood why the church was so hard on certain sins, but they let that go when gossiping has a tendency to be way more detrimental to the unity of the church and to other people. For some of us, gossiping is like an Oreo cookie or a piece of chocolate or an M&M. You just can't get enough. If you eat an M&M, I'm just gonna have a couple, right? And you grab it out of a bag or out of a bowl, you eat one. I'm not gonna have any more. And you go back and you get a little more. And you go back and you get a little more. And when you eventually put the bag away, you look and go, man, there's not much left. Somebody else must have been eating them. And I feel like with gossip, we just keep going back and we just keep going back and we just keep going back. Why do people have a tendency to gossip? Actually, people were asked, why do you do it? One thing they said is this, it makes them feel important. It makes them feel like, hey, I know something that you don't know. I become the information desk that you have to come to and get your information from. It makes me feel important. Other people say this, because it makes them feel powerful. Because in some ways, they can control. You see kids in school, right? And they start using their words, and they kind of start manipulating situation, controlling friend groups. And they feel like they have the power through gossip. There's other people, it makes them feel better, right? Because they look at other people and they say, your life's a mess, it's worse than mine. And really, when people are looking at you, it takes the target off my back. And when you're messed up, it makes me look a lot better. Here's the problem, that when we go through this whole process of gossiping, whether it's because of pride or because of insecurities or because of something that we want people to think of us differently or in a better light, it's detrimental. Some of you and your families have been impacted because someone shared information that they had no business sharing with someone else. They took a private matter and they made it public. And now your families no longer get together at the holiday time because one person in one family shared something about another family, and before you know it, there's chaos in the family because somebody broke confidence. Some of you have had friends that you thought they were that friend for life. You were so close. You couldn't imagine how anyone could be closer with one another than you two. And all of a sudden, for whatever reason, you found out that they shared something about you that was really private. And before you know it, you go to people who can't even talk to each other anymore. There are people that have had things shared about them, and they've been so hurt by gossip that they used to be outgoing, loved being with people, spending time with other people, and they were so hurt that they've kind of backed away. And they're real quiet, they're kind of introverted, and they're never going to reach out and really trust anybody else because of what happened to them. Unfortunately, there are people who've even tried to take their own life because they never thought they could rebound off information that was shared about them. Because their little secret was out, and they didn't know how they could handle it. And so they took their life. Listen to me, gossip's a big deal. There's a reason God hates it. There's a reason that God finds it detestable. It's because it destroys pretty much everything that he stands for. And there are times the church needs to wake up and be careful about what they're sharing with other people, what they're saying about other people, because we're about encouraging other people, building them up, helping them, right, to become what God's created them to be. It's helping them through this journey of becoming perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. That's what it's about. And when we gossip, we stop the process, we stop the journey for people, and we can destroy another person's life by what we say. Oh, we need to be careful. We have to be careful. So here's three things I want you to ask yourself before you share information with other people. Before you go into a conversation that maybe you have no business being a part of, here's the first one. Is my conversation helpful or hurtful? It's pretty simple. Is what I'm about to say, is it helpful or is it going to hurt somebody? And we need to be pretty honest in the process when we ask that question. We need to do well with our self-evaluation because we can become a little delusional in our mind. We can even, you know, we can kind of deceive ourselves. But there's sometimes we need to come to the basis of saying, you know what, there's nothing good that's going to come out of this conversation, nothing at all. What is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29? It's kind of our theme verse. We use it specifically when we talked about criticizing other people. It says this, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. If what we're going to say has the potential of hurting someone else or tearing them down, then maybe we need to keep our big fat mouth shut, right? You can try to disguise it all you want, but if it's unwholesome talk, it's something that God stands opposed to. You know, Mary, she is such a pretty girl. It's too bad she has a problem with her elbow. Right? Or, you know, John is such a good-looking guy, man. He's a great athlete, but he's probably taking something. I saw him get mad last week. It was probably roid rage. See, and one of the most creative things that we do when we try to disguise is we put it under the umbrella of a prayer request. So we go up to someone and say, oh, I got to share something with you. I hope you're praying about this. And you start sharing some information with other people with this spiritual tone to it. But the reality is, most people, when they share prayer, I shouldn't say most people, that's an overstatement. Some people, they share prayer requests, but they never pray about it. If you're the kind of person that keeps sharing prayer requests and you never actually pray about it, you're probably in the realm of gossiping. You can spiritualize as much as you want, but you go, oh, we need to pray for such and such. Did you hear what happened in their family? And you don't pray about it? You should be praying about it more than you're talking about it. You need to get to a place and say, you know what, God, I want to intervene on this person's behalf. That for whatever reason, they're going through the situation they are. And God, I want you to give them whatever they need. Help them. Bring people alongside them. Let your spirit work in them to change them to become more like you. Bring healing. If you go to a person ahead of time and say, I want you to know that I have a prayer team that we pray every week together, and I know you're going through a hard time, do you mind if I share this with my prayer team? And if we're going to pray for you, is that okay? And if they give you permission, you're fine. You're fine to go to your prayer team and pray. There are some times that we say this. We justify gossiping because we say it's true. Somehow, if we share something that's true, then we're good. It's no longer gossiping. But I want you to go back to the fact, is it hurtful? Or does it harm people? Or are you helping the situation? Is it being a part of the solution? We all have a story. And I've been very open with you that I am a trophy of God's grace, really. And people seem they're going, really, you're a pastor? Seriously. And so I'm a trophy of God's grace. And there's times I share my stories. Why? Because I want to make scripture come alive for you in your journey. You're not the only one who's fighting this battle to become more like God. I'm working on it every day, just like you are. And so we share stories to help it come alive. But there are times my story is my story, right? You don't need to hear about every heated discussion that I have, every mistake that I made. Sometimes there's absolutely no profit at all to sharing our story. And there's times there is. It's profitable. And so listen to me, when we do what we do, we have to be really careful the things that we continue to pass along to other people. So first of all, we need to ask the question, is it helpful, is it hurtful? Are they words that are going to build someone up or are they going to tear them down? Secondly, we need to ask this, am I making a private matter public? Am I making something known that I have no business to make known? Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13 says this, a gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. So a gossip betrays confidence. They're making private matters public. But someone who's trustworthy knows how to keep it to themselves. Betraying a confidence is like a pin to an inflated balloon. All it takes is a matter of a second, just a word or two. And before you know it, a relationship, a trust that has been one time built is now destroyed quickly. Social media has magnified this. Before it used to be in the hallways of school or just a conversation at the coffee pop. But when you get to social media, now it goes poof. And people have done it to be malicious and people have done it innocently. Have you heard about the people who found out about an immediate family member passing on social media? Because somebody happened to be at the accident scene and found out that somebody passed away and they posted on social media. And so somebody goes on and finds out that their dad passed away. It's like, what? And innocently, they're just like, and they're just making something that's a private matter public before even people are aware of it. So there's so many ways that we need to be careful. From a friend when you're a kid growing up, telling a girl or boy that you like them, to someone sharing an information, a low point in your life with someone else, to whether you confided in someone and went to them and said, I want you to know that I'm struggling with this, or this is where I am at in my life and I'm struggling. And before you know it, you turn around and go tell somebody else. I don't care what the situation is, there's times where we take private matters and we make them public. I think God finds it detestable. So is it helpful or is it hurtful? Are we making a private matter public? And the third thing, am I permitting others to gossip? Not only is it wrong for us to gossip, it's wrong to allow people to come to us and gossip. It is wrong. Sometimes we feel like, well, I'm not saying anything. I'm not the problem, am I? Here, listen to what Proverbs chapter 17, 4 says. A wicked person, ooh, this hurts, right, if we listen. A wicked person listens to deceitful lies or deceitful lips, and a liar pays attention to a destructive tongue. Can I say that again? A wicked person listens to deceitful lips, and a liar pays attention to a destructive tongue. I want you to know, if you enjoy getting the lowdown and dirt on other people, if you find it to be just so much fun to hear about their misery, their trials, their adversity, their secrets, if you love that, I want you to know you're wrong. Biblically, you are in the wrong, just like the person who's sharing the information. Because I don't care if they're your friend or not. I don't even care if they're your enemy. What's it say in Matthew chapter 5? It says this, we are to pray for our enemies. What's it say in Luke 6? We are to love our enemies and do good to them. Gossip is just the antithesis of doing good and loving and praying for someone that we struggle with. See, there's a big difference between looking like Satan and looking like God. There's a big difference. And it affects all realms. I don't care whether you're in a public school or I don't care whether you're in a conservative church. I want you to know that gossip is dangerous and it's destructive. It takes away from the unity of the church. It doesn't build people up. Instead, it tears them down. We have to be so careful with what we say and how we say it. Some of you guys enjoy when people take their dump trucks and they back them up into your front yard and they're just filled with gossip and they unload it right in your front yard. And you're like, oh, this is great. I just got a load of gossip delivered. And there's other people who say, not in my yard. I've heard people say, I don't understand why people keep coming to me and telling me these things. You know why? Because you've allowed people to back the dump truck up for years in your front yard and dump it. And they know that they can come to you and they can share it and you'll listen to it. There's other people who say, nah, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Have you heard somebody say something like this? Hey, if this is something negative or something that really isn't supposed to be shared, I really don't want to hear it. Have you ever had somebody tell you that? I'm telling you what, you're going to be a little more reluctant to go share other things with them if they come and confront you on it. You can either be loving about it or you can be direct about it. Loving is this. If our coworker heard us talking about them behind their back, I don't think they would appreciate it. So let's talk about something else. That's loving. Direct is this. If you have a problem with them, maybe you should talk to them first and not to everyone else. All it takes is a sentence for you to draw a line in the sand and say, when you hear that truck coming back to your front lawn going beep, 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 hey, not in my yard. This is the wrong yard. You take that somewhere else. Now, trust me, I'm not saying you can't talk about other people when they're not there. I'm just asking you to evaluate it. Is it encouraging? Is it building up? Is this to their edification? Is it to help them? Or is it to hurt, embarrass, humiliate, and undermine their journey to become more like Jesus? You need to decide that when you start talking about other people. And listen to me, when you start having a conversation, have you ever walked in on conversation and there people are talking and all of a sudden they have to stop? So if you're having a conversation, you're talking about something, and all of a sudden you have to stop in the middle of it because you're afraid they're going to hear what you're saying, then maybe you shouldn't be saying it in the first place. It's simple, right? Go back to what Rick Warren says. If you're having a conversation and the people you're talking to can't be a part of, aren't a part of the problem, and they can't be a part of the solution, then maybe we just need to keep it to ourselves. If someone has a problem with addiction, someone's walking away from God, or someone's making decisions that are harmful to them and possibly to other people, then if you have to, you bring people along who can be part of the solution. You bring them along and say, we need to love them. We need to care for them. We need to help them. Let's go do this together. But it's for their good. It's to help, not to hurt. It's to build them up. Guys, as we conclude this series, I want you to think about this. How do you use your words? Because, you know, it shouldn't just matter to us. I want you to know it really matters to God. God cares about what we say. You know why? Because oftentimes the first introduction that people have to Jesus is through our lives. They see something in your life and go, there's something there, I need to know what that is. And you can point them to Jesus. And so the first introduction they have should be something that is like him, for the good of others, for the building up of others, for the encouragement of other people, for unity and for all the other things. Their introduction to Jesus should not look like this. Hey, did you hear? I'm going to end with this verse. Instead of complaining, instead of being critical, instead of lying and instead of gossiping. There are times that we need to learn to really shut our big fat mouths. People say that's abrupt. God finds the stuff sometimes that we do detestable, and it says he hates it. Ephesians 4:29. And I hope you guys underline this, circle it, print it off, put it on your mirror in the bathroom. I hope you guys put it somewhere, take it to work with you, put it in your pocket, do something with this verse. I hope that if you've never memorized a scripture verse in it, this may be the first verse you memorize. So when you go through a day and you start going, and you stop and you go this. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that they may benefit those who listen. God, help us. There are so many times in life that I have not only offended other people, but really been detestable before you because of things that I've said. God, help me to guard myself against things like criticism and lying, complaining, and even being a gossip. God, I really don't want to live in that world. I want to be one who encourages other people on, cheering people on to become all that they were intended to be in you. And God, I hope that this series, time in your word, as your spirit works, that others will join me in this journey. God, help us to represent you well with our words. And I pray that we will be part of the solution and not the problem when it comes to other people who are trying to walk that same journey. And we ask this in your son's name.